Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Fanzine.live
podcast.
This is
Rebel
Yell.
Reds are going up, don't you know, pump it up. The Reds are going up. Pete, why are you not joining in, mate? We're all pumping it up.
Because we're not, James. We're not.
Why? What happened?
No one told you.
What happened?
They curtailed it again.
Again?
Well, first time they curtailed it last season was null and void, which meant we didn't go up and top again.
So this isn't an end of season party?
No. Sorry.
Should we call it the end of season unparty then?
The end of season unparty.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rebel Yell podcast, the end of season unparty.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Yeah, I mean, my sense of humour hasn't changed really. I don't think Pete's got bored of that and missed that much, have you, Pete?
Haven't missed it one bit, James.
No. But I have missed you and seeing all the usual chaps and chapesses at football, because it really feels like a lifetime ago. We were at Three Bridges bowing out of the Sussex Cup in not very fashionable style.
It is a long time ago, and I think everybody, you know, even in the Away Boys chat group and other things, everyone's missing it like absolute crazy.
It just shows that, you know, when there's not football to talk about, it's just we all miss it. I mean, I really didn't think when doing that commentary with you on that last match at Three Bridges, it would be the last time we see a competitive match for Worthing this season, because we really didn't think how bad it would get again. And yet, hopefully, there is a little glimmer of hope with the day we're recording this. You know, the season has been announced, middle of August. There is a lot of hope. You'll hear from a lot of people in this podcast upcoming, but I still hold on to a bit of hope, Pete, that we might get a full season, and hopefully a season that's rewarding for us.
Yeah, I think next season it should be absolutely fine. We've seen the success of the vaccine rollout. You know, Boris didn't do a lot right during the first year, but, you know, now we've got the vaccines rolling out. Lots of people are getting their jabs, and now second jabs have started. I think there's about 4 million people who've had the second jab now. So hopefully that'll protect us into the autumn, and we get a full season in next year.
And let's just hope a lot of the vulnerables that might not have been able to come to the football when we did resume the season might be able to return, because obviously a lot of the older chaps and chapesses that are at Worthing, we haven't seen when we went back for that short period of time.
No, absolutely. You know, people have had to shield for a year. They've only just been able today to stop shielding. So, you know, if they've got health issues, etc. So it'd be nice to welcome back everyone to the ground. Obviously, we've also lost a few fans as well during the
very, very sad, very, very, very sad.
Very, very sad to hear that. So let's hope we can come back you know, be positive, get a full season in, you know, and hopefully get promoted in memory of the people that we've lost in the last year.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the players will be going out and playing for the role. They've got unfinished business, and they need to do it for some of these people that won't be there to see us get promoted to the National South, if that was the case. You know, hopefully that gives them a momentum to travel and go and get that goal. Because I know a lot of these players, having spoken to them and having seen their sort of social medias, they have got unfinished business.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, they're all chomping at a bit as well. Absolutely chomping at a bit to get back and play. As you said, we've got a few guests on the podcast. So you're going to hear from Adam and Nathan, you know, hear them talk about the players and what's going to happen next season. And it all sounds very, very positive.
I mean, I say this maybe with a bit of gutted disappointedness, that there's never been a better time to be a Worthing fan. I think obviously it would have been even better if we'd been in the league above. But I think with everything that we've spoken to on this podcast, who we're going to speak to and what the fans are going to see over the coming months and seasons, I think there's a lot of excitement around the club at the moment.
I think there is. I think it's just the incredible stuff that's happened around the ground. You know, everyone's seen the socials, Worthing's socials on Facebook, you know, the new pitch, the floodlights, the new hut and everything. And obviously, you know, there's the fans that raise part of that money and some football foundation grants and everything. So we are prepared for the step up to the next league. Adam signed the 3-year deal not so long back.
Best news we could have had in this lockdown.
Best news we could have had, definitely by a mile. We did talk to Adam about that, so that'll be coming up. I think it's all very positive, and everything is in place for us to, you know, have a real push for promotion for the third successive season, which is unreal.
I mean, it is unreal. I mean, the ground's looking fantastic. We've seen the pitch on social media. We've been lucky enough to see it in the odd occasion, you know, from social, for the walls, for the new pitch. Barry speaks about the saga behind the pitch. It's quite an interesting one. And also a bit about Barry's history. But, I mean, where credit's due, he's led a very strong battle for this pitch. And, you know, I think, you know, all plaudits deserved for Barry, because from what I've heard and what he sort of said, it's been a very, very tough battle for him to get this all sorted.
Yeah, he's worked very hard behind the scenes. You know, Barry's not all singing or dancing chairman who, you know, around the club. You know, like Pete Stone, the chairman before, was a totally different personality. Yeah. You know, got a lot more involved. But you know, Barry's everyone's got different personalities. So, you know, Barry just works to his strengths basically, and gets on with things in the background. And like I say, he's done amazing to get this pitch sorted out for us.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I mean, I guess as this is kind of, as I say, end of season unparty, we should really have a flick through the 8 competitive league games we had and a scattering of cup games that we had. I mean, Pete, if you could say one match in the league that stood out for you this season, what would it be? I mean, we started off amazingly by beating Folkestone, correct me, whatever you say.
Folkestone,
that's the one. We beat them 2-1 on the 19th of September, our first game of the season. I mean, what a start, because they were probably, when the season got null and voided, they were our closest rivals at that time.
They were, you know, US, look at Folkestone, you look at all the Kent teams, they're all strong teams. So, you know, to go there, obviously it was the first game of the season. It was exactly the same the season before, first game of the season, and we lost that one. So to go there, the second time I'd been there, and to get revenge on them was absolutely fantastic way to start the season. Mm. And get the ball rolling. And we grew from that, from the confidence, yeah, from that first win, I felt.
100%. I mean, we didn't have the pleasure of beating Bognor twice again last season, because we didn't even play them once. But I would say, for me, one of the key standouts for me was the Lewis Sussex derby, that prolific 3-1 win with Deshaun Golding scoring against his old club. But, you know, I think if the season had continued, I think that was a point where teams need to stand up and look like Worthing in business yet again.
Oh, definitely. And that was an amazing just to see the crowd and everything, the worthy fans that were there. It was just absolutely amazing.
What were the name of the sides again? Was it chips and gravy or something? Or
no, wasn't it pies and something?
Pies and something else. I can't remember, but it was very strange, and we did laugh about that, didn't we? I mean, what was the standout moment for you out of those games? I mean, I said Lewis for me. What would it be for you?
It's got to be East Furrock, hasn't it? Highlight of the season.
Was that just because you were commentating with Kev Golds?
Kev Golds, the Worthing legend as a co-commentator.
I think we might have to put the highlight package that I did for the previous podcast, which was released months ago, into this podcast, just as a little reminder for everyone, because I still remember, like, obviously I was away with work, and Pete was telling me he just couldn't stop laughing, and I had the privilege of taking the highlights and editing it into a little package to put on the podcast, and I have to say, I haven't laughed that hard, and I know I kept on sending it to Pete, and the amount of times when you actually properly belly laughed. How the hell did you manage to do a commentary with that guy for 90 minutes?
I honestly don't know. it was surreal. It was really funny. It's you know, I look back on it with a lot of affection, to be honest, because it was just.
What was one of the highlights? Thurricking hell or something like that.
He's always got a line as our Kev. And,
I know.
He was brilliant.
I do believe though that he should, next season, he should be on there at least a good couple of times.
Yeah, we'd have to get a beep button though next season.
No, but I mean, at least we're not Ofcom rated, because we'd be off the air if we were. It's not BBC. If you ever get a good gig at BBC, Pete, I don't think Kev would be a good enough person to have as your co-commentator on that.
To be honest, he was really good, because he kept going to say something, and he's like, oh, I can't say that. Can't say that. it was brilliant.
It's just, and the only loss that came in the league was against Leatherhead, and I know you were at that game, and it was very unfortunate.
Yeah, I just felt that day we were lacking defenders. I felt, you know, it was a very attacking team that Adam put out, and I think, you know, he obviously looked at what he had available, and then he thought, well, the best form of defence is attack, and unfortunately, just didn't quite work out for us on that day, and they snatched the winner about 5 minutes from time. So, yeah, a bit disappointed, but, you know, lost one game. That was the only game we lost. So, and I think we played nine in the end, didn't we? Or it was eight, nine,
I think. But, I mean, we had the cup games, and that's where we had a little bit of disappointment that season. You know, the first one, nice to get a new ground in East Grinsey. I was quite impressed by the ground. I like the little ground.
It's quite nice.
Really nice. And they actually had a commentary table that we took full effect of and full use of there. And we had I always remember that one, because I was it Alex Parsons' free kick that I
filmed?
Jesse Starkey's free kick that I filmed. And it went viral being tweeted by the FA Cup. And that was an amazing free kick. And we thought, weren't we 3-1 up at one stage? And end up equalising and then going to penalties and losing on penalties.
Yeah, we did seem to throw that away, to be honest. You know, it was. I think there was a little falling out between the bench and a player, and the player came on and it was hauled off straight away. And yeah, I think that would just upset the rhythm of everything that was going on that evening. So, and then to get to penalty shootout, and the penalties were poor. But as I said, I think I said in some programme notes that it was basically a rerun of the Italian 90s shootout with the way they were missing and everything. So, yeah, it was just bizarre. But, yeah, disappointed to go out in the first round of the FA Cup.
I think it is as well, because you look at what's happened, and, you know, one of the highlights for me football-wise, other than Worthing, was seeing Marine play Tottenham Hotspur. Marine, who are a level below us, am I correct?
Yeah,
and they got so far to play Tottenham Hotspur at their home ground, and seeing that with all the people, you can imagine it if it was Worthy. You can imagine all the people in their windows and their back gardens surrounding the ground. Very similar layout to what Marine had. You know, all the sponsorship and what they did with the crowdfunder buying virtual tickets. They probably set themselves up for the next 10 years. So, you know, as we speak to Adam later on, it is one of the things he has said. He wants a cup run. He'd love to see us do something like that. And I think we all would as well, wouldn't we, Pete?
Yeah, absolutely. The fans every season, you know, they look at the cups, and oh, it'd be great if we could have a run in the cup. So yeah, and as you'll hear, as James just alluded to, that, you know, we did talk to Adam about this, and yeah, he's as hungry as the next man to have cup runs. He wanted cup runs this season. It just didn't pan out for us.
Yeah, it was a shame because also we got knocked out by Leeston in the FA Trophy on penalties. Bit of a naughty WWE fight after the game, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was a bit of a kerfuffle on the pitch. Like I say, I was packing up, so I missed the start of it. And
didn't you have to run to the press box to get power or something?
Yeah, my battery was running out as the penalties came up, so I had to run from the stand to the press box to get it plugged in so I could give coverage of the penalties. So that must have sounded quite funny, me running down with
I was flying. I'd just finished the flight of my normal job, and I think I was listening to it in the car, and I seem to remember you, and I was laughing to myself because it did sound quite funny to hearing you. Hang on a second, you could hear the breathing. to go here. Yeah, fine. And then, penalties. There we go. It's quite good. The joys of non-league. We don't have the Sky Sports facilities, do we?
No, unfortunately not. But yeah, but again, lost the penalty shootout out of the cup, and that was a long, long journey home on that coach that evening.
I can imagine, and it didn't help that 3 days after we got knocked out the Sussex Cup, where we should have. No disrespect to Three Bridges, we were all over them. They should have had it settled by half time, but we just couldn't finish those goals. And they came back, and fair play to Three Bridges.
Yeah, we went ahead, didn't we? With a cracking goal by Ollie Pearce. And then, they played one long ball up, misjudged. And their players threw on goal and slams it home. And that was the start of that cup as well. So, yeah. Do we have to talk about the cups?
There's not much more football to talk about, though, is there? We had eight league games and three cup games. I mean, what else do we talk about? I mean... I guess, should we just move on to Adam Hinchwood? Should we hear what he had to say to us?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, anyway, enjoy the interviews. Enjoy the podcast, guys. Remember to tweet us at Rebel Yell WFCSA. And just a quick shout out to MK Window Cleaning, who has renewed his sponsorship for this forthcoming season. I mean, Mark, thank you so much for doing that. I mean, in the light of the pandemic, for you to come in and re-sponsor the podcast and re-sponsor the live commentary means an awful lot. So if you do want your windows clean, please contact Mark Price. He is on Facebook, and give him a call. Make sure you get your windows clean. I get mine done by him. I pay for them. There's no sort of commercial sponsorship thing before anyone jumps down my throat. I do pay him for them, but he does a really good job. So do make sure you support our own, like all the people and all the volunteers that are at Worthing. Be good to look at their businesses before anyone else's. But Mark, thank you so much, and I guess let's go and speak to Adam.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Right now on the Rebel Yell Podcast, we're joined by the gaffer, Adam Hinchwood. Hinch, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, mate. Yourself?
Yeah. It's just really weird to sort of see you virtually right now because it's been a long time, I think. No, it was the end of October, beginning of November, the last match against Three Bridges, which was sadly a bit of a disappointing way to go out and bow out our season, which we thought at the time wouldn't be, but we never got to put those wrongs right, did we?
Nah, so not, yeah. I was seeing something the other day actually come up, and a certain amount of days ago, I think Three Bridges put it out there and reminded me of that night. But yeah, very disappointing night, and disappointing that we haven't had any football since then, really. I think everyone's itching to get back, and myself, and I'm sure from the players there, itching to put that defeat on that night, really, and work hard to improve on that format.
How have you been coping? Like, what have you been up to yourself personally over, since, obviously there's been a lot going on down at Woodside Road and the facilities, which we'll talk to you about later, but what have you been doing to keep yourself busy over the past it's 5 months now.
Over five months. Early on, felt there could be a resume to the season. So obviously doing analysing the team and keep putting them through their paces with Zoom sessions and stuff like that. And then sort of after Christmas, just honestly thought that we was going to be given 2 weeks to get back if anything started up. But really was quite realistic in thinking that no football was going to get played until next season now. So sort of left the players alone a little bit, didn't keep bothering them and stuff like that. And just from a selfish point of view, just focused on myself, really. Just read a lot of books and tried to improve myself, watching a lot of videos back and ways of how I can improve in terms of man management tactics and stuff like that, and watching different training sessions, and just generally working on myself becoming a better manager, really.
And one of the ways you've done that is by signing a brand new 3-year contract. So thank you very much for doing that and putting our minds at ease.
Yeah, that was obviously coming to an end at the end of April. So, yeah, the talks were going on just before Christmas and stuff. And there was never sort of any sort of doubt or hesitation in my mind that, you know, I definitely wanted to stay at the club, and felt with the lockdown and the way the club come together and the fans come together to raise the money and stuff like that, I just felt it was showed a great sign of what this club can achieve and the potential that it's got. And, you know, togetherness and the community spirit that's been built. And, you know, also from my own point of view, the sort of the way we built things on the pitch, you know, to get that team spirit and that philosophy and everything across, it does take time. And I'm very pleased that the boards were willing in such a difficult time to sort of give me a 3-year deal. Was great incentive for myself to, you know, really sort of kick on and improve all aspects of the club. And, you know, I want to continue doing that.
And obviously, you've already mentioned, you know, the boys are going to be in for training. They're going to have a nice new pitch to train on, Adam. What sort of difference do you think that's going to make to the team and the overall feel of the club going into next season?
I can only really speak from when we've gone to the likes of Margate and Horsham and stuff like that, and we've played on good 3G surfaces. You know, the kind of comments would be, oh, imagine playing on this every week and training on this every week. And it's been quite similar for the lads that have been in, like the academy boys. They've really noticed the difference in the way it's been laid and everything like that, and the standard is so much superior to what they had in the past. And the lads that we've had in are just can't get enough of it and want more and more sessions coming in early, and you can't get them off it. And to be honest, like, our first team boys were like that anyway on the old surface, so God help us now getting them in at a half decent time, because training was always seemed to go on long in the past. But yeah, I can imagine now that they're going to be very reluctant to get off the pitch when they get back.
Hopefully, when we come back playing, our home form will be as good as our away form now we've got the new pitch.
Like I say, want to improve all sort of areas, and that's one thing I look at. We've got sort of a whole season's worth of data and information to sort of put together, and that's what I'll be looking to do. Look at that and see where we can improve. Can we win more home games than we did previously? Can we win more away? Can we not concede as many goals? Can we score more goals? And, you know, that's all I've tried to do year on year since I come in. And obviously, with the standards that have been set by the players in the last 18 months or so, it's going to be very hard to replicate that and get to that. But, you know, that's got to be the goal and the aim, and that's all I've sort of tried to set out to do on each season.
How have the players actually coped with lockdown and sort? Because obviously they want to be playing football. So talking for sort of the mental side of it, being stuck in their houses when they're used to running around the pitch every Saturday.
Yeah, I know. Like I say, I've sort of haven't gone round individuals, and that's one thing that, you know, will be sort of keen to sort of check on the player's sort of mental state over the next couple of weeks, really, and see where they are and how they found it and stuff like that. But I'm pretty sure so away from their normal sort of schedule. They are braced in a football season from start to finish pretty much for 10 months of the year. You might get 2 months off, but to have, you know, 3.5 months of absolutely doing nothing is completely new territory for them. So be keen to have a look at that when we get back going and get some feedback. But you'd like to think, because it's made them more hungry and determined to put more effort into becoming a better player. They've had so long away from it. I know it's a bit similar to, like, for myself, when you've been out injured and you're coming back from an injury, really. You always want to sort of remember what it was like training week in, week out, and playing week in, week out, and the enjoyment you got from that, and make sure that you was physically better and, you know, just a better player after having so long out, and hoping that sort of mindset will be the same for the players.
What is the plan for the next couple of months? I'm presuming you're going to have a proper break in the summer and then come back in July, August. Anything like that?
It's a bit sort of new territory for me, so I don't really know how to play it. But what I've got in my head, how it's working, is to sort of train April or May time and try and get some games into the legs as well. Because I just felt it'd be a long period going from, I think, 23rd of December was the last training session we had, to go from 23rd of December and then start back up again in July. July, I felt was a long period of time without getting some sort of match practice into the leg. So that would be the basis of the sessions, really, from April and May, just to get the lads back used to the surface again and the different movements that it takes to play the game. And then a bit of a break and then back into it, really. But I'll be gauged by what the players want. If they only want to do a couple of sessions and stick with that, if they want to add a session in, then I'd be more than happy to cater for that as well. And if they only want to have a 2-week break in June, if some of them want to keep going because they feel in top form, then I'll get Nathan Cam to do that and I'll have to do that. Yeah, and I think engaged by the players on that one. But I think to have some kind of, you know, break and then go into the pre-season will be important. But I think it's a good time really to sort of firstly get the squad together at an early stage, start working on one or two bits, and then have a bit of a break and then come back. And I'm hoping that we can pick up a level of performance a lot quicker and we can start, you know, like early on in pre-season you probably go 45 minutes, a half and stuff like that. I'm hoping to get up to like 60, 90 minutes pretty much straight away and the lads to know, you know, how we want to play, our shape in and out of position, what we do from set pieces. It's all ready to go on that first game in pre-season, whereas maybe before you'd build up to the first game of the season.
I know you've said in the press that you're hoping that the players might end up wanting to do that extra session a week. You're happy to too, you know, if it, what's the general consensus? Do you believe that they probably will want to do that extra session? Or I guess it's sort of third time lucky, as we sort of joke and say, because a lot of them have got unfinished business and they want to win this league title.
Knowing the group of players that I do and the feedback they have had already, they'll be coming in full time if they could. I know that a lot of them would do, and that's just the mindset they've got. So yeah,
great to
hear. It'd be a case of me sort of saying, yeah, I can do that, I can put that on for you. And even though that when they could, and the lads were coming in during the day and training with the academy boys for extra sessions, and that was lads coming down like Deshaun, Marvin, Omar come to an academy session just before Christmas because they didn't have no work, they could get down, it knew everything was going to go into lockdown, so they showed that willingness to do that. And I think that's just the kind of mindset that we've managed to forge in the group, really. And like I say, it's taken a long time, and it does take time to get that sort of mindset and everything into a team. So it's a big part of me wanting to stay for the next 3 years as well, is because you've got players like that of that ilk. And you know, we've generated a good philosophy to work from and a good mindset within the group. And it's all very well me sort of saying I'll do them sessions. Ultimately, the players have got to drive it, and that's what they've done the last 18 months. If there's extra running to be done because they don't feel that they're quite fit enough, they've always led that in the last few months. And I'm quite keen to keep that going and keep that mindset and that mentality going.
Fantastic.
The way you're talking, Adam, are you expecting to pretty much have the same squad for next season as we've had the last two seasons?
I thought you were going to say, Pete, I thought you said the season wrapped up by sort of November, December and we'd be promoted. I thought that's what you were coming to do.
That's it. I thought, geez, yeah, I'm putting more added pressure. I love to do that. No, I think I'm quietly confident that, yeah, there's not going to be wholesale changes in the squad. In my mind, I've got couple that I wouldn't mind trying to bring in to add to what we've got, obviously. But yeah, without sort of sitting down with the board and talking about a budget just yet, you know, I like to think that will stay relatively the same, similar to what we had last season. So with that in mind, I think that, yeah, nucleus of the squad will stay the same. I'd say that there won't be wholesale changes. I know that maybe fans were a little bit disgruntled with the lack of activity maybe last summer, but again at the same time I think managing to keep some of these players is a coup in itself. And I know already that a manager has been on to a few of our players already, you know, I know that. And without sort of being big-headed or nothing, I'm quietly confident in the way that we work and the way the club works and the way that you guys perform as well on a Saturday. You know, it's a big draw for any sort of player. You know, all I have to say is come and play in front of at a minimum of 1,000 fans at home every week, which I think should be the target for us now moving forward. You know, that's a big sell in itself, and quietly confident in the way that sort of me, Cam and Nath work on a training day and a match day to know that it's a good place to be in, a good environment, any player to survive and come playing. So yeah, but we wouldn't be doing our job properly if there wasn't that kind of interest. And yeah, pleased that like the nucleus of that, I'm quite confident, are going to stay with us and, like you say, want to build on what we've already created in the last few months.
It's great to hear.
When I look at your squad compared to some of the other teams that I've seen play in the league, and I've been to quite a few games, you don't need to make wholesale changes to what you've got, do you, really?
No, please, like I said, if I was to just keep the lads that we have in our group all ready to go for next season, I'd be more than happy with that. You know, I'd be delighted with that. Obviously, my job is to improve. If there's a possibility to bring in someone better, then, you know, obviously I've got to look at that, and I will do. There's no, you know, question about that. The players also need to know that we are looking to improve as well each season, so that their standards can't just sit and stay still. They've got to keep on improving and have that challenge of knowing that if there's better players coming through, whether that's lads through our academy or players locally potentially that have been released or available, then we're obviously going to be looking at that as well. So, but with that in mind, I think it's also important that the right type of player, I like to bring the right character into the group, because if you get the wrong character, it can be bad for the dressing room. So I look at the characters that we've brought in, and there's some really good lads in there, the likes of Paps and Omar and stuff like that. They're good people to bring into the club, to add that to the likes of your Marvins, your Jesties, your Rickies and your Parsons. Hopefully have a bit more of him available and around the place. You know, there's some real good characters, and that's an important thing as well that I look at. Got to be more than what they just do on the pitch, and don't want players just coming down and collecting their money and then going again, because that's not the feel that I want for Worthing. I don't think that's what the fans want to see, and it's not what I want around the club. So there's a whole lot that goes into it, and also, like you said, I think we have got a really competitive squad, so it's also got to be players that are going to enhance it and give players a challenge for their spot. So with the recruitment, yeah, it's sort of I do look at things in a lot of detail, and so there's likes of Aaron wasn't available for a bit, then felt we needed a bit more presence in terms of personality and physicality in terms of bringing Danny Papu back in. So into the club, there's lots of things that go on, and also there'll be some good younger players that will be sort of knocking at the door. And we played Haven Teeth recently, and Luca Cocoraccio is arguably the best player on the pitch, and he's very much a Worthing player that was going to get minutes at Haven Teeth. So Tom Chalet's been doing well at Burgess Hill, Tyrese at Sault Dean, so these lads are going to be coming back, and I want them to start pushing as well. So yeah, obviously, with the recruitment, do look into it, but I try to go into a lot of detail and bring good calibre of player into the club.
Talking about the youth, Adam, almost like a proud dad moment, seeing Kwame and Finn, former players, playing for Wales under-21s, Ghana,
yeah.
I mean, how amazing is that to think last season, or not last season, because I forget what season we played, but, you know, the season before last, they were representing Worthing every week, and look what they've done now. Finn is going to be an amazing star, you know it, you could just see it. But Kwame to represent and Finn, the countries, it must be a really proud moment for yourself. It
certainly is, like, with the new office that we've got up, we've managed to get a few of their shirts, actually. So
brilliant.
Finn's up there, we've got Omar's, got... just waiting on Kwame, but one from Lucas, still waiting for Reggie Boy to send one down. But, you know, really do look at these players and look at their careers and follow their careers. And it is with, you know, immense sort of pride, like you say, that they're getting those sort of accolades. Not for any stretch of the imagination. I think they would have got there. You know, it's nothing to do with the unbelievable coaching that they got from me. I just give them an opportunity, a platform to play on. You know, I'm not claiming any sort of accolades like that. Ultimately, they've showed they've got the right attitude and mindset to get there. All we did, like I say, was give them a platform to go and play and express themselves. And delighted that they've done that at Worthing for a time, and that the fans got the enjoyment of watching them play. And obviously delighted now that they're getting those rewards with, you know, that kind of accolade. Wales under-21s for Finn, and he started and got 90 minutes under his belt, and then Kwame to, I think, come on for Ghana. So yeah, it's an incredible achievement, and hopefully it's inspiring to like our younger players. They'll look at it and look at the opportunities that are there at Worthing if you're doing things right. You know, we're not scared to blood younger players if we feel they're good enough and they've got the right mindset and mentality. And yeah, hopefully it builds a bit of a
and an attractive prospect to the club. club as well.
No, definitely, yeah.
And on that point, you're very modest there, Adam, about what you've done, apart from being an amazing coach. You get these players and they've left a team or been let go, like in Finn's case, it was Arsenal. And these players are let go, you've managed to get them. Do you actually sit down and talk to them about your experiences in the game and how you made it to sort of professional football?
No, to be honest, I don't really bore the players too much with my career, to be honest. You know, I look at my career back with, you know, a lot of sadness. I didn't really get to feel my potential as a player. So very rare do I speak about my career to any of the players, really. I think all I try to do is just give them that opportunity to go and play. I think with Finn, I think, you know, Darren Budd was massive as well, I think, because he didn't play week in, week out to start off with. I think St Albans away, he'd come on the bench, and I think when Miki scored the last minute goal, he's one of them that was there celebrating and stuff like that. And he just really embraced being involved in the club and in those sort of big games like that, when, you know, you've just been released from a big club like Arsenal, that takes a bit of getting over and stuff like that. And I think with Finn, it just had to be a bit of time. And like I say, the older players, like when we had Aaron, Buddy and Parsons, I think their little chats that they have with the players are important, and showing them, obviously, you're disappointed. The manager really rates you highly, but, you know, you've got to wait and be patient for your opportunity, and they both were, and, you know, probably a bit different. Yeah, so Finn had to probably be a little bit more patient, and like I say, I think those older players that we've got in the dressing room were a big factor to how Finn conducted himself and where he got to. And with Kwame, he was just coming for only about 8 or 10 games or so, and you could just tell that, you know, he was probably finding the level too easy, to be honest. I think the way we played suited Kwame, him having the freedom to play in like a number 10 position and get on the half turn, and really it did allow him to showcase the best of his attributes, the way we sort of do play. I think that, but yeah, in terms of me having, like I say, that much of an impact in their careers, I'll say not so much. And
oh, don't talk yourself down. It's like everyone, you've had a part of that player's career. And no matter what you think,
very, very, very short part. But like,
but
I say,
still, you picked Finn up when he came from Arsenal. He was down, disjointed, probably. Yeah. Picked him up, and look what he's gone and done, mate. You know, seriously, don't talk yourself down.
No, but I honestly, like, this is something that I've probably looked at over the last few months, and it's an area that I feel like I need to improve on. I need to have those little chats more with the players, and I've got a nice swanky office now that I can.
I heard about this. I didn't even know. It's only Pete that broke the news to me. I thought it was going to be a store cupboard, but you've gone and pinched it, haven't you?
It was like a store cupboard, but yeah, like some nice work's gone into it now, and you know, like we've got some shirts on the wall and nice little sofa in there and a TV. And
stuff. There we go.
Hold on. You've missed some out. You've got a fridge with beer in as well, in there.
Fridge with some refreshments. A bit professional. Yeah. There's a few refreshments in there. But yeah, honestly, that's the sort of stuff that I've been looking at and going, I need to do more of that. I need to... These are young players. I need to have more chats with them and speak to them more on an individual basis and try to improve them individually a little bit more. I think it's so hard when you only have them twice a week, and when games were coming thick and fast, you know, it was probably play Saturday, see them Tuesday for a game, and then match prep, or you analyse the game from Tuesday and Saturday on the Thursday, and then you're putting them out there again. But I've got the time. I want to spend more time with these younger players and these individuals and trying to help them develop a little bit quicker, maybe by, like you say, those little chats and stuff like that. But yeah, I most definitely won't be boring them with anything that happened in my career, really.
Do you think that's one of the biggest handicaps of being a non-league manager, is the fact that you don't have a lot of time with your players? Like you think, you know, I've seen 22 odd players there on a Tuesday or a Thursday, and then, like you say, it's difficult for you to individually go and, you know, have a sit down chat with everyone, because you're organising them, especially when the games are thick and fast. So is that a bit of a disadvantage for yourself as a manager?
I think so, me personally. It's my sort of dream. Like, I'm not one to say I want to be the next England manager or Premier League manager even, but the dream is to be able to work with a team on a full time basis. And I'd love to be able to, you know, put steps into place to try and do that at Worthing over the coming years. You know, to have one team to focus on and really focus on the style of play, and like you say, work on individuals and improve individuals on a full-time sort of basis, day-to-day basis, would be you know, the dream for me as a manager moving forward. But yeah, like, we are so lucky. We've got really good people that are good at their jobs, like Cam and the work he does with the analysis and stuff. And he has all the boys' clips after a game ready for them probably on Sunday night, if not Monday morning. So they can individually just look at their touches from the game and stuff like that. And, you know, I want to do more with that. I want to sit down with the players and go through them. But it's excellent what he does there. And, like, the work that Nate does with individuals, he gets around a lot of individuals and speaks to them a lot. So we are lucky. We've got good people that work hard. And, you know, one thing I want to, in this next 3 years, is to give up a bit more time to work with individuals. Like, for instance, if Buddy got a couple of the boys, I think Ricky's been doing some work with moving buddies. If he could get
doesn't
him
half
on
the wind... squad work for moving buddies? I'm pretty sure yeah, Horsham, know, half yeah. of Horsham and half of Worthing yeah, work for moving buddies, don't they?
But any of these players, it might even be like Aaron Racine's got an inset day and can come in and do some extra time, or, you know, it could be Alex Parsons, it could be anyone. I want to, you know, spend more time working with individuals. So I really think that, you know, Marvin done that. He come in pre-season early before sessions and gave up some time to want to do it. And I want to be able to sort of give up some more time. I really think it helped Marv's game this season. He come in, you know, only about 4 or 5 times in pre-season, just early, done about half hour individual work. But I feel that's where you get the real...
But you could tell he had, because he really seemed to step it up a level with this sort of the few games that we saw. He was like definitely my man of the match of quite a few games that I saw. I'm sure people agree with that.
No, yeah, I think that's where you get the real sort of detail, isn't it, in the with the players, when you're in those little groups and you can really work with them and enhance their game. And like for Marv's situation, I think it really helped him, and he's progressed no ends. And even like with the younger players, I've working with a few of those have been coming in early and really noticed a difference that can really help them develop quicker by really working on their game in a smaller sort of group like that. So yeah, like I say, that these are all the sort of things that I've been sort of focusing on over the last 3 months to try and get right to take the club forward and to improve individuals and improve the whole standards within the club. So really want to sort of put that into practice over the next couple of years.
So Adam, you've got a 3-year contract. What is your goals to have in that 3 years? Is it National South or is it possibly even higher?
No, yeah, I always put pressure on myself, really. And the pressure is to keep on improving from season to season. I think we've done that since I've come in, so it'd be no different. I want to keep doing that. Like I say, I think we've got, if you put the two seasons together, you've got a good gauge of one full season for me to work from. And there'll be games on there that I, you know, want to win more games than what we won in that period, and lose less, score more and concede less. And that'll be the challenge. And like I say, it's going to be extremely difficult to do that. But that will be the challenge. And then hopefully it's enough for us to be up there competing at the right end of the table again. And, you know, that's where the expectation's gone. And there is a bit of pressure, but that kind of pressure is a privilege to have, really, because it means you're doing something right.
Obviously, we're going into the new season in August. Is it difficult? Because obviously, in like the professional leagues, you see what other clubs are doing, what other clubs are spending, etc., etc., what players they're bringing in. On a non-league basis, is that going to be more difficult? And obviously, as we've had the COVID, some clubs might have a bit of money, some clubs might have no money. Is it sort of a guessing game on what other teams are doing to improve themselves?
Always is, really. You never know how other clubs are functioning behind the scenes. There could be someone coming in, like a Glenn Templin situation, where he's investing a lot of money into a club. I just think what all I've tried to do is focus on us, really. I know it's probably a little bit short-sighted to do that, but when it comes to analysing our performance, it'll be on what we can do to improve. Very rare do I go into the opposition on a match day to look at what they're doing. I always try and focus on what we're doing, simply because I think you can't really control what the opposition are doing. Like, they might play 4-3-3, come to Woodside and park the bus and play 4-5-1, and all your work and your preparation's gone into them playing a certain formation. So I just focus on us being better, And that's all I try to do on the pitch and try and keep taking the club forward and pushing everything from the youth, every team that I'm involved in, from the under-14s to the first team, just keep on pushing it and trying to improve all aspects of the club. But yeah, I don't. There obviously could be now a lot of investment into Hornchurch. You know, what an achievement that
Amazing.
Is to get to a Wembley final, and it's doable. So that's one thing now I'd love to bring to the Worthing fans, a Wembley day out, and a team from our level's done it. So that's,
you know what, even Marine versus like Spurs, that was what an achievement. You know, imagine having a Premier League
exactly,
team at Woodside Road.
Like, a lot of our players would have witnessed these cup runs from these other teams and seen that. And so yeah, that would be the challenge, and that would be the talks before the season starts. And I can guarantee you, I don't go into the game saying, don't worry about this cup game today or any game. So yeah. I think there's been, rightly so, some disgruntled fans in how we've got on in the cup.
I guess, would you say that's a goal for next season? Well, obviously promotion, the main thing,
yeah.
But a goal to get a little cup run going.
Definitely, and that is the challenge, and that is the sort of things that I sort of, little mini targets that I set myself without going out and telling the whole world that that's what we want to do. We want to get to Wembley for the FA Trophy. We want to get to the third round of the FA Cup. We want to get to the Sussex Senior Cup, and we want to win the league. You know, without sort of going out and screaming about that, from, you know, that's the sort of person I am. That'd be the ambition that I will set out for the players. And you know, when we went on a good run, I think one of the players come back and said, well, we wasn't going to win every game. And my set is like, why not? Why are you not thinking that we can go out and win every game and this run's going to come to an end sooner or later? And that honestly, that is the challenge that the players get set. And that's what I strive to do. And obviously, not going to be achievable, all of those things at the same time. But it's not going to be from a want to try in from like mine or the players' behalf to try and do that. And that's all we try and do, try and keep taking the club forward. And yeah, I'd love to sort of reward the fans with a big day out. You know, it was fantastic going to Fleet and seeing just that level of stadia and our fans there at that day. And when we went to Moneyfields in the FA Cup, a different venue, but you know, we sort of took over that ground, and I always speak about that day like we was like a league club that day. So I know with that, there's a lot of expectation because of that. And yeah, like I say, I look forward to that and bring that on. I think it's something that we've created as a club over the last few years, and you know, we should be proud of that and really embrace it.
Well, Hinch, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I mean, I can't wait to be able to see you in person sometime soon and catch up and hopefully not wear a mask and be able to be in a bar after the game. I mean, it is a distant dream, but hopefully it's something that's coming a lot sooner than we hope. But please look after yourself, and, you know, I look forward to hearing about this preparation for the season and seeing what lines up over the next few months. And hopefully you get that holiday that you want, because you deserve it.
Yeah, honestly, it's a pleasure just even to speak to you guys again and talk about the football season potentially starting up again. You know, it gets the juices flowing and you can't wait and you're looking forward to it. And like I say, hopefully I'll be able to welcome you into the nice new office that we've got for a swanky refreshment out of our fridge that we've got in the corner there. So yeah, can't wait for them sort of days, and like to see the shed end rocking again with all you guys there. Who's going to be great times, and yeah, really look forward to those.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast. RebelYell.live.
So it looks like usual three at the back today.
Yeah.
Do you think when Pepo's fit, that we'll go to a four?
I ain't got a clue. You know, Adam's a manager, not me.
You'd like to be though.
Yeah. But having said that, I think I'd do a better job than Adam.
Controversy straight away.
There you go. Then you heard it first here. I mean, that's what you come to watch football for, balls like that.
Absolutely.
Oh, I've got a pair too. I mean, come on. I mean, seriously now, it's got to be a red, isn't it? He's got one yellow. Another yellow. Equals a red. Oh!
Good right, boy. Well, it looks like Adam Hinshaw is going into the book here.
Wow,
yeah.
That's...
Yeah, it's a yellow that's card for Adam.
That's ridiculous. No, that's absolutely stupid. The ref, a proper one. Put it that way, that's all I'm going to say about it. You know, Daishon, really, Daishon has ripped a few of them players a new one, and he's got ripped to pieces there, yeah. and he's booked Adam.
Yeah.
Protesting about the foul. I mean, my mate, that number four of theirs is long enough to be continued. My mate, he's a size.
Agboola.
Is that his name?
Yeah, Mike Agboola.
About 6 foot, and then starts getting frosty. He walks around in August with snow on his head. Oh, no! I mean, let it go on, Rick, you...
Oh, that, and the ref gives us a free kick.
I mean,
yeah. Oh dear, I'm crying here.
Player, referee, another referee that wanna be our player.
Put that beer down.
What's in that flask, Kev?
I thought you was professional. It wasn't a dirty foul, I mean, it was one of them. And the referee, now he doesn't give that one that the air manager got a yellow card for, but he gives that silly one. You know, it was a 50-50, okay, he went down. But the referee is so inconsistent, it's absolutely ridiculous.
So, it's better than VAR though, isn't it?
But, oh, yeah,
at least we can moan about the ref.
I love VAR, I do.
It's going to be... We've got somebody online who's asking for your autograph.
I beg your pardon?
Somebody online is asking for your autograph in the chat.
My autograph, I will give it to you in the chat. Thank you very much.
Whoever you are. I love you.
And Zenga.
I love all Worthing fans. I love all Worthing fans. Whether right. I dislike them or not. Pardon?
I'm getting old. I can see.
Oh, I was taking a drag. I mean, I didn't even...
He's having a vape, actually.
What he said.
Oh, it's a throw-in.
I've got my vapor here. Yeah. I don't smoke. I think it's disgusting. So, Dean, put that bloody fag out. Get back in and listen to the radio, please. All right, me old mate. No, he looks fun, Tom.
So, nice bit of football again,
yeah,
there.
Bloody lovely. Yeah, I did swear there. I said B. But it was lovely. I mean...
He enjoyed that. Kev enjoyed it.
Really nice. Really nice.
So, it's Ricky is...
That's what I come to football to watch. That sort of move.
And Kev's gone for a walk somewhere. Kevin, telling the press people off.
I had to have a go at him.
Shouldn't be on Tinder, really, should he?
Oh, exactly. Phones should be banned from football. Want to watch that one if it's televised.
Or whatever, you know.
I lose my listeners when it's televised. You know, that's
yeah,
what I said. I said it's live.
Well, I didn't listen to you last week because I watched it on.
Yeah,
on
thanks. Thanks. They were just...
No. Let's face it, I mean...
Yeah, you're going to prefer to watch
exactly.
it. I understand.
And we look very
I
good.
I understand. But they need a decent commentator on there, don't they?
Oh, of course they do. Exactly. That's why that is why I've just come on here, because I'm just a spare one, you know.
A spare.
Couldn't get nobody else, so, yeah, Kev, can you do it, will you?
I think there was a bit of a clamour for you to do it today, Kev, in the group, to be honest.
There was a few. I can't understand it myself, can you?
It's Fiala.
Yeah, I said he had to score a goal. He had to score today. It was a beautiful... I really don't think that was a shirt, Paul. I think he got stuck in between his fingers.
What do you think of his position watching a game rather than behind the goal like you usually are?
I'd rather be behind the goal, but... I mean, I'll do it every now and again, you know. All depends. People might not want me to do it again, but if they do, I'll do it again, yeah.
And you can swear behind the goal as well, can't you?
You definitely can swear. You can cuss. I'm a little cur. I'm still purring about Mo's goal. I'm still purring here.
Oh, and he's Danny. He always give it away, and it's Cameron Tutt. Cameron Tutt, yeah, it was a mistake there by
Danny
Barker mistake. It left care. Cameron Tutt in trouble, and then Cameron Tutt could be off here. He could be off because he did look a heavy challenge.
There. Yeah. He had the cover for Danny. No, that was Danny Barker, my mate. What was that all about, my mate? No. I'm biting my lip, sorry. That's all I'm saying, I'm biting my lip. I could say I'm biting my lip, but I'm not going to.
He's for again. Side flag.
He couldn't have been offside. There's no way he was offside.
So,
he could have been onside.
And Golden is down.
God, my mate.
And Holly's come on to give him attention.
Where did he come from? Farrakh? Farrakh, me. Come on, Red!
So,
whatever's up with that misfit? Golden bloody oh well, sorry, am I on?
You didn't swear.
No. But you can't, a misfit is a little bit of a naughty thing to say. I'm Mongol's child. That's politically incorrect, isn't it? Sorry, listeners. All three of you. Omar's just gone off 10 minutes ago. Now Omar's taking the f***ing penalty. Taking the penalty. The blooming penalty.
So.
Game over. Boom, boom. Let's smack the room.
It's our pleasure now on the Rebel Yell podcast to be joined by the owner, George Dow. George, it's been a little while since we've seen you in person. How have you been throughout the last few months? How was Christmas and all that lot? And, you know, how are you coping without football?
Yeah, no, I've been all right, thanks. I'm sure. Like everyone, it's been a bit boring at times, but yeah, no, getting through it. Christmas was good. Saw a few of the family. So, yeah, no, it was good. Yeah, just been cracking on, really.
Yeah, and you've been directing cooking videos.
I was going to say, yeah.
Well, not as many as I'd like to have done recently because we haven't had a kitchen, but now the kitchen's back and in order, yeah, I've been directing my own home videos in the kitchen.
So you and Jess are going to have your own cooking channel soon, am I right?
I don't know if she's up to a cooking channel.
Well, it'd be a new branch of Worthing. You've got all the academy, you got that. Now you can have the sort of Worthing at Home sort of channel, can't you?
Yeah, it'll be more of a comedy channel, I think.
It's quite banterous when you watch it. It does.
Although, to be fair, her cooking is actually really good. So
it does look good. Yeah, I mean, is she going to be open up her little like street food stall at Woodside Road when we come back, maybe?
Maybe. I've said we made burgers the other day and they were really nice. I said they were restaurant worthy, so maybe she'll have a go at a few of them.
There you go, mate. There you go. You've got to get the talent in the ground for that reason, yeah.
Got to be done. So obviously, George, the FA, we've got to mention them. Don't need to rant, but obviously, you had a 5-year plan when you took over the club.
Yeah,
it was looking bang on, wasn't it?
It was looking spot on, wasn't it? At one point, yeah.
It was.
So, I mean, I don't really know what to say. I appreciate that it's been a very difficult time and hard decision of that to be made in the course of this pandemic. So it's hard, but I think a lot of it could have been dealt with better. Yeah,
how have you felt? Like, you know, it must have been like obviously the first null and void. See, that was well like last summer, we've all spoken about that then, but having it yet again, but this time it's not null and voided, it's what's the word they use for, Pete?
Curtailed.
So do you feel that maybe they acted too quickly with the last season, and if they'd curtailed that one, then maybe something could have been done, which would have been fair all round, because there was a bit of a momentum going with this Save Non-League project or something, wasn't there, on Twitter?
Yeah, well, no, I was just about to say that. Maybe if they didn't sort of rush, because if I remember rightly, I think our league was null and voided quite early on before really we knew all the facts and what might happen and what clubs wanted to do and stuff like that. So I think if they did, yeah, sit back and maybe try and scope out the future a little bit and say, right, if we curtail the season so we can still use the data going forward, that would have been preferable for us because we were in such a strong position. But I guess that's hindsight. At least they've learned from that a little bit this year by curtailing it and not null and voiding it so that they have got the ability to use the data later on if we do need to. But I don't know. I mean, we're all hoping from now on that it's going to be a smooth, clean season, aren't we? So hopefully the data won't need to be used, but it's there if we need it. So that's always a positive.
Yeah, we'd like to think that.
And it's just so frustrating. And I can imagine even more frustrating for yourself being the owner of the club.
Well, like you said, it was the five-year plan was looking so good. And I'm not going to blame the FA for that being ruined. I think that it's just the way of the world at the moment. So it's just... Yeah, wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, it was Chinese Dave eating bats. Yeah. So going on to positive things, we had the Futures Bright campaign last summer, which I think you'd agree was an overwhelming success all round. And we've seen fruitions of that of the club now with a lot of changes. So obviously the biggest one being the, well, I would say the pitch and the lighting. How pleased are you with the pitch and the way, you know, the work that Barry's done in the background to get all of that sorted out, because he has jumped through quite a few hoops to get this done.
Barry's been brilliant, relentless since he came in, really dealing with the pitch issue. And yeah, finally, almost seems strange that it coincided with the football stopping and then we got the new pitch. It was, I guess, the positive that came out of it. It gave us the time to get the pitch ready for a new season when it does start. So that was good and helped not having the pressure of needing to almost rush it because we wanted to be back at Woodside, because obviously we're going to be playing at Horsham for a bit, weren't we? So there was that added pressure there to get the pitch done, and with the league stopping, it just took the pressure off a little bit and allowed them to get it right, and for Barry to not take his time because he's been pushing them, but for almost, you know what I mean, take that pressure off a little bit and yeah, get things done. I'm really pleased because it looks so good. It almost looks flat down there now, which is which is a good start for a pitch. Shame we couldn't keep the red, but I liked the red. It just gave
you have to spray the logo or something. You have to see if you could do some sort of paint of like what Worthing FC or the logo by the tunnel on the pitch or something.
Yeah, some sort of badge. Personalize it a bit. Yeah.
I really liked the red around the pitch. Like,
yeah, so I liked it.
It just broke it up a bit.
I just liked it because if you took a picture down there, you knew instantly where you were. From the picture, if you see the picture somewhere else, it was just, you knew instantly where it was. But I have to say, even without the red, I think the pitch does look really, really smart.
Got the lights as well now, so
LED lights.
Yeah, when I'm commentating at the back of the stand, I can see who's actually on the ball.
Yeah,
which will be a bonus. And obviously the LED lighting, a couple of advantages, you know, the lighting itself, and obviously the reduction in the energy usage compared to the old halogens.
Yeah, I mean, the first and foremost, the spillage around into the neighbours' gardens and stuff is a lot less, noticeably less now, which is great for them. And obviously there is a lot of usage down there during the winter when it's dark and the lights are on every night. I'm sure for a few neighbours it can be a bit much at times. So hopefully that's helped a lot. And that's all thanks to the guys that contributed to the crowdfunder and to the Futures Bright campaign. It's all thanks to them, really, that we've managed to get them new lights that were very, very needed at the time, not just for the neighbours, but for the club as well. Really, our lights were constantly failing and costing us thousands of pounds each year to put right. So hopefully these will be long lasting and, really help us for our next stage of growing as a club.
And the money saving.
And yeah, obviously that's an added bonus as well. Hopefully you can save money each year on our utility bills. So that's good too.
Yeah, it must be quite a comparable cost saving compared to the old halogen when you've replaced with LED. Pete would know, he's an EPC guy, isn't he?
But we've been told we're going to save a lot by doing that. But obviously we haven't had a full year's use of them yet to compare anything. But yeah, from all the information we have, it looks like it'll be a good saving.
How about all the other additions to the ground? Obviously, there's now a nice accessible track for you to get around to, a nice new viewing point for yourself as well. You must be quite happy with that.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise, really. I think they had some extra concrete, so they chucked it where I sit. So hopefully it raises that up a little bit, gives my viewing platform. Yeah, it's good.
You don't have to get wet anymore, as you said.
Yeah, I can move back out the rain a bit now, which is nice. I don't have to just sit in the rain like a lemon.
That'd be good. But it does look really smart, that corner, you know, with the new like hut and Hinch's office and the new turnstile. I mean, it just shows it. I think it just has a statement to anyone visiting the ground now that, you know, we are going places.
Yeah, definitely. It just gives us that ability to segregate the ground if we need to. Also, yeah, having the extra food outlet in the northeast corner is hopefully reduce the queues and make the fan experience a bit better, not having to queue up for so long to get drinks and to get food. Yeah, hopefully it will make a big difference. And like you say, it's exactly what we need if we want to keep growing. We need to keep adding to the ground and making it somewhere where people want to come and not get frustrated with not being able to get a drink at half time. And we want to encourage people to come down and not try and make it harder.
I think Pete was still moaning though, because you haven't installed a beer tap next to his commentary table. So he still has to go and queue at half time. So, George, I think if there's any money going spare, you need to look after Pete in that commentary box, right?
Yeah. We'll get some of them people walking around with beer packs on their back.
Oh, yeah, those big rucksacks. Yeah, that would be good for those
busy games. Pete's glass up for him.
Oh, I think he'd love that. Actually, isn't it two pints a game he's allowed when he's on there, and he just goes wild after, don't you, Pete?
Yeah, 1 pint first half, 1 pint second half, and then after I'll have a few then. So you can't be drunk on there, can you?
Not for professional, is it?
Well, I'm sure Martin Tyler doesn't have one drink while he's on air. He sounds like he's had a few, but I doubt if he has. What's your hopes for the season coming? Do you think, from what I understand, from what I hear, budgets are basically should hopefully, depending on you, George, do you think it's going to be relatively on the par with last season, so we should be able to compete?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be doing everything we can to keep the budget that Hinch has to work with exactly the same. I think that's what we're going to be working towards, and yeah, do everything in our power to make that happen. And I think we're all pretty confident that will happen. I think going into next year and what I expect, I don't really know what to expect. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how teams have coped through this lockdown, how they've weathered the storm, how they've got through it, whether they've come out the other side still competing at the same level, or if they've dropped off slightly because they haven't got the same budget or the same personnel at the club anymore. I think there's going to be a lot of crazy stuff going on in next season, and a lot of maybe some unexpected teams that creep up to the top because they've dealt with the COVID lockdown situation better than others.
I think you'll find a lot of players are out of contract from professional clubs, maybe League Two, National South, that, you know, maybe without a club. So you could find these players dropping down to ESPN level to get games in. And you could find, as you say, a lot of clubs that maybe were down the bottom possibly coming a bit north towards us.
Yeah, no, definitely. There would have been teams in the National League that have had to clip their squad slightly because of finances and stuff. So I'm sure that then players will be looking for clubs. I'm sure that, I mean, we've had some great work done behind the scenes from like Ange, our project manager, who's managed to get grants out of seemingly nothing. So she's done amazing work there. And I'd be surprised if every club had an Ange doing that in the background for them. So we've managed to sort of get by in the lockdown.
That could be a new sort of badge. Every club needs an Ange.
I'd say so.
new banner for the away boys. Every club needs an Ange or something like that.
Yeah, get some t-shirts printed.
Every club needs an Ange.
She's done brilliant throughout lockdown. So
Lifetime.
I think that's the thing we've got to look forward to next season, because obviously it's the third season where we've got exactly the same teams to travel to and to come to our place. And I think the not knowing how they've coped with the COVID pandemic and the way they're going to come back, I think that's probably one of the most interesting things to sort of look forward to next season, apart from Worthing being at the top of the league.
Hopefully,
I agree. There's a few teams recently, wasn't there, that I think got rid of their manager by mutual consent.
Yeah, like in the case of like one day, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, it's about three of them in a day. Yeah. And obviously when you, well, compare that to, we signed Adam up again on another deal. So that, exciting news for the club.
I think it was a massive morale boost for us all. We were saying, me and Pete and, you know, some of the other guys, it was just what we needed, because obviously, you know, Adam said to us when we spoke to him on the podcast that, you know, it was kind of started to be talked about at the end of last year, but obviously that's all behind the scenes. But obviously there's that in, right? He's coming to the end of his contract. Is he going to stay? Is he going to be sort of tempted elsewhere? The club going to be able to afford to keep him on because of the pandemic? But to put that out and that statement, I think not only it's a massive morale boost for the fans, but it's a massive signal of intent by Adam.
Yeah.
He's got unfinished business, by yourself and by the rest of the club. We want this National South status.
Well, yeah, we were obviously really pleased that Adam wants to stay with us and keep building on what he's done so far with the first team and with our sort of youth and educational programmes. He's been great. So yeah, that was really important for us to try and keep Adam. And he's very happy at the club and loves the club and wants to continue pushing forward. So it was really good to get that news out to everyone. That was really exciting stuff. And especially like you say, with everything else going on, it was maybe some people didn't know if it was going to happen or not. But I think behind the scenes, we kind of knew and we're working towards it in the background and finally got it over the line. So yeah, it's good stuff.
No, brilliant. It's a big congratulations to yourself on the board of that one. And from a personal point of view, it was my highlight of lockdown, totally.
What lockdown? All of them?
Yeah, which one?
Well, it's just every day's like just work, eat, sleep. There's
Groundhog Day, isn't it?
Yeah, there's just nothing else. So when you get a good piece of news, it's like, oh yeah, it really does give you a pick me up. And now we've got the news: football is back in August, and you know, hopefully we can all mix. On that point, George, is there any news of when the bar will be open at Woodside? Is it going to be waiting till next August, or you're going to be opening sort of?
It might be towards the end of June, early July, I think is what we're looking at.
Because we're thinking the Euros, you see, and getting some money behind your bar.
Yeah. Funny enough, my dad said the same thing.
For the Euros, so. There you go.
He just wants to be it.
Yeah, but no, we're going to work towards sort of end of June, early July. Certainly open for the friendlies if we are, when they're arranged in July, I would have thought.
Excellent.
And are we going to try and attract a big club down for the opening friendly at home?
We're always trying. Yeah, it's a lot of the time it's hard because they plan so far in advance, these big teams, that it's hard to get them pinned down. But hopefully, with everything that's going on, maybe we might get a couple. I know that Nathan Hinch are definitely working hard to try and get some good pre-season friendlies on the books.
Yeah, because there's a few clubs that must owe us a little friendly, isn't there? With the young players that have moved on from Worthing.
Yeah, well, since I've been around, they haven't been very keen to do it because we've got a 3-2 pitch, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, George, you had a five-year plan, which was so close to being done. And I think we could say you're still in year four of that because year five's kind of not really happened, has it? So we could say that. So what's the next plan for yourself? Obviously, I'd like to think myself it'd be sustainable in the national self, possibly pushing towards the national. Is that sort of along the lines of what you're thinking, or are you not quite sure yet what your five-year plan is, the next one?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the next five-year plan would be, but I think we, as a club and as a committee, we just want to keep progressing the club forward and don't really want to put any sort of barrier on that. Mm-hmm. But I'd say certainly in the next few years, we'd like to make that step up to the national south and hopefully be sustainable at that level. Yeah, and then build again, start again and make a new plan to keep pushing.
Well, we know we've got to build another stand if we go to nationals, so I'm sure there'll be another crowdfunder coming in the future if that was going to happen.
Oh yeah, Barry's already on that, so he's got big plans. So not necessarily on a new stand or anything, but talking about like what we can do to improve the ground. There's so many ideas that we come up with. It's just making them a reality, making them feasible and trying to raise the funds to be able to do it.
Well, as we've always said, Pete, haven't we? The support association's here to help with any of those plans, so do give us a shout, and I'm sure at that link with Anne, she'll let us know as well.
It's exciting though. It's exciting to have people on the committee that are as ambitious as I am and want to see the club do well and want to improve the facilities in every way we can. It's really, really good and exciting at the moment. So yeah, it's good.
We might have a spare tenner kicking around, George.
You never know, somewhere about that. So yeah, George, thank you so much for joining us this evening. And I look forward to the day that I can actually see you in person very soon and act like everything's normal. Well, not act, hopefully it will be all normal again, but hopefully we can go back to that season in the middle of August and start and there won't be any interruptions. But fingers crossed, and I believe, and I'm sure Pete can echo this, that we're in the right place and going forward is very exciting for us.
I just cannot wait to go and watch a game now. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Cannot wait.
Counting down the days.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Ticking off the list, ticking off the calendar. Sorry.
Well, I know Pete's got pub garden on his list, pub inside, and then football. Or is it football first, Pete? Well, it's kind of in that order, really, isn't it, Pete?
No, it's pub outside, pub indoors, and then football.
Yeah, there we go.
And a nice meal out as well.
Yeah, and a nice meal out.
That would be nice. That would be nice to go out and get something to eat.
Yeah, some of the nice eateries in Worthing area. But yeah, thank you very much, George. Look after yourself. All the best to your lovely lady. And I look forward to seeing more of those cooking videos very soon before the football season starts.
Cool. Cheers, guys.
Okay. Cheers, George. Thank you.
Thanks, George. The Rebel Yell Podcast. So we're joined now by Stuart Evans, who is still the kit man, but is also now one of the youth coaches at Worthing. Stu, it's been a few months since we saw you, back end of October, beginning of November, for that Three Bridges Essex Cup upset. It wasn't the best way to go out, but how have you been keeping?
No, it wasn't the best way. No, all good, mate. Thank you. Yeah, busy and yeah, just glad to be back.
What have you been up to? Because I know, obviously, like probably like most of us, but for yourself, football and Worthing are your lifelines on a Saturday and most of the week. So what have you been doing to keep yourself sane?
Mate, just working, if I'm honest with you. Doing some runs, trying to keep myself fit as much as I can. But yeah, generally just working. Work's been crazy busy. So it's just, yeah, that's been kind of my escape away from thinking about how much I miss football, I suppose.
Yeah,
it's been busy.
Must be pleased to see the pitch and what the crowdfund has done. And I mean, we've seen pictures of it and it looks unreal.
Yeah, it's incredible, pal. It really is incredible. It's the work behind the scenes that Barry and everybody else has been doing is just amazing. Like, yeah, this is so much they've done that everybody don't even know about, and plans moving forward that will make this club even bigger and better, which are really exciting. That, yeah, hopefully it will happen over the next couple of years or so. So yeah, they've been incredible. And then people by, like, on the pitch, I've been coming down here most Saturdays during lockdown, especially over since Christmas, with Ange and Mike, and just doing bits around the ground like maintenance, painting and whatever else it may be, just to try to keep the ground looking sharp as well. So yeah, mate, the work everybody's been doing is just phenomenal, really.
Have you got any little tidbits you could leak to us? You say 2 years over the next couple of years, or is this top secret plans?
Top secret, mate. It's more than my job's worth, pal. But I can say on that, mate, is just be assured that it's exciting and that it's worth waiting for, 100%.
Yeah. No, I do think, though, to be honest, any sort of excitement is, you know, we haven't even seen the pitch really as a fan yet. So it's our main excitement to get back, which has been confirmed in August today, hasn't it? It's actually been confirmed for the first game of the season. So at least we've got a sort of goal to look forward to now.
Yeah, mate, incredible. Like, yeah, it's going to come around really quickly. Obviously, we've got the youth team, the first team back now, I think till the end of May, I think, potentially, with the odd friendly in between that, and obviously the youth teams have got trials, so it's full on till May, as in May, and then June rest, and then back July. So it's going to come around really quickly. So yeah, really excited, really, really excited.
What's been the feedback from the players on the pitch?
Loving it. Oh my god, yeah, like they've noticed such a massive difference. I mean, I'm just walking across it now. You probably hear with the wind, just trying to get the
summer weather that we're meant to have.
Yeah, exactly. Just trying to get the first team footballs out ready for them. But yeah, mate, they're loving it. Yeah, they notice the difference. It's like bobbles. They can relax on the ball. They haven't got to think about where that ball's going to go. Yeah, incredible, mate. It's a carpet, and now it's down to me as groundsman now as well to make sure we look after it, because we've waited all these years for it, and now we need to look after it.
You've had one of the training sessions already this week, once we're speaking to you at the moment. Yeah. How did the players react? Obviously, they said they really liked the pitch, but what was the whole morale like? I guess they were buzzing to be back.
Yeah, incredible, mate. The boys' fitness is unreal. I mean, I've just had a couple of sessions with my under-16s, and I'm blowing, absolutely blowing. I mean, obviously, they're younger than me, I get that, but they're out there. The energy and it was incredible. It really was incredible. So, yeah, they're ready to go, mate, ready to go.
So what's the latest with the youths then? Like, what's the plan? Obviously, we know the first team, as I say, going to take on a break after May, coming back pre-season. What's the ideas for the youth team and really getting back to normal?
Yeah, so we're back. My 16s are back. We've got a little mini tournament, league tournament, starting this Sunday. It's the end of April, I believe. We're back and with them tonight there. Again, their fitness is and excitement was incredible. It was really nice to see. So yeah, looking forward to that on Sunday. So we've got trials. I'm not too sure about the 15s and the 14s. I think they've got a kind of like mini tournament in between now and the trials as well. And then we've got trials for the youth teams starting beginning of May. So yeah, lots going on.
Sounds exciting. Sounds exciting. And you're just obviously happy to be doing what you're best doing, aren't you?
Mate, 100%. I love every second of it. I mean, me and Nath are down here 7 days a week at the moment, because obviously we're still hiring out the pitch. So we've got local teams and youth groups and everything coming down to use the pitch. And obviously with the bar being closed, we need a beer to open up. So me and Nath are literally doing 7 days at the moment, and probably until June. But we're just happy to be back. And yeah, it's nice being around the boys and make the abuse I get and the abuse I get them back. I've missed it, to be quite honest with you. So yeah, really good to be back.
Obviously, you've got the new pit. Have we got new goals to whirl across them there, rather than the horrible ones? No.
Sorry. Do you mean the nine-a-side goals, or do you mean the full-size goals?
Yeah, the ones we move on a Saturday.
Oh, sorry, mate. Yes, we've got new goals. Yes, they're gone. They're long gone.
They've got proper wheels, so we can push them.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, they're good. They're good as they're good for that pitch. We can't have anything dragging across that pitch now anyway, so I'm going to be on it this year, like you wouldn't believe, in terms of we can't even have flat soles on that pitch, so anything that's going to cause potential damage to that pitch, I'm going to be on it. Mickey Meyer comes in and does this tractor, as you know, but down to me and Nathan and me as the groundsman to maintain that pitch as well and look after it, so yeah, I'm going to try to be on it. We've waited so long for it, we need to look after it. So
what's going to happen after games on a Saturday? Usually, you know, every Tom, Dick and Harry runs on with footwear. Are you going to have to bring something in?
I think we are. I think that's going to come out in the wash. Probably wrong with me to say at the moment, but I think everybody in their right mind will appreciate that actually how much work behind the scenes has gone on to make the pitch happen. We've had years of a bad pitch. It probably has hampered us to a point in terms of our playing style. Now we just want to look after it. So yeah, I think it will come out in the wash over the next few weeks or so, but I'll just leave it that we need to look after it.
We've got to protect the investment. That's the end of the day, because we want obviously the pitch to be spot on for all our teams that use it.
Yeah, we need it, mate. We need it. Yeah, 100%. And the boys have noticed how quicker it skips off it, and there's no bobbles, and we can play our football much nicer on this pitch than we could previously. So as I say, we need to look after it, and I'm sure the club will make a statement on that. I know they are. Wrong with me to say at the moment, but yeah, it's as you say, we need to invest and we need to protect the investment. It's as simple as that.
No, absolutely. One of your jobs being the guy that sorts the kit out on a Saturday for the first team. Any new kit news or anything for us that you can leak, or nothing yet? Because yeah, I think we were getting to a point, and me and Pete always laugh at this. It was game away against Kingstonian before obviously we all got locked down again. You were taping numbers to the back of Ollie Pearce's shirt, and I think he went from number 1 to 11 to 17 in one game.
He was just trying to find a size shirt that fit his fat stomach, to be quite honest. No, I'm joking. He's fine. Yeah, it's I think there is going to be a new kit, and yeah, we've got to obviously I'm sure the club will again announce that coming soon, but yeah, there is going to be a new kit. We haven't received it yet, unless they're hiding it from me. Yeah, there's definitely going to be a new kit,
so you won't have to rummage around for shirts that they don't make anymore this season. The coming season will be good.
No, Adidas started to become a bit of a pain towards the end. Kappa's a lot easier to deal with by the sound of things, so yeah, it's yeah, much easier, which is nice.
Oh, Kappa, that's interesting. I won't say you said that, but you know, hey.
Well, mate, it's clear. I mean, it's clear to see it's Kappa. There's Kappa stopping up on the website. So yeah, that's no news. But it's a massive investment for the club. I think the fans need to. I'm sure they do realise and appreciate that it's not just like the pitch. The club's invested in the kit this season, all the way through the youth teams to the first team, the ladies. Everybody's going to be getting a new kit at some point over the next year. There's some real investment going on at this football club. I mean, it's come on leaps and bounds if you break it down as to what we've achieved during the world's biggest pandemic. Especially in our lifetime anyway, it's phenomenal. I mean, what we've achieved over the pandemic, the months of the pandemic, we've achieved normally over 2 or 3 years, and we've done it within 6 to 8 months. So it's something really to be proud of. You've got the new floodlights, you've got the new pitch, Hinch's office, a new refreshment block, new toilets, the general maintenance of the club as well in terms of the painting and everything else that goes along with that. Do you know what I mean? I'm really excited to see the fans come back to hear what they think of it.
And I hear, Stuart, the club have actually spent some money doing up the away team's changing room.
Yeah, basic money. I wouldn't say it's like our home changing room. We don't want to give them too much too much nice stuff, do we? But to be fair, Ange Tanner has worked, and Mike actually, to be fair, they have both worked their socks off to decorate and to retile in the away changing room. So yeah, there's no more mould growing on the walls or anything on those lines. So yeah, again, without people like that, I mean, it's been too many years of one or two volunteers down here, and the club unfortunately got to the point where you could see that, and now we've got a real good strong group of volunteers on the board, behind the scenes, on kind of around the ground, like Andrew, Mike, and it's really making such a massive difference. It really is.
When we come back in August, how's it going to feel for you, that first league game at home? Hopefully we'll win.
Yeah, it will be emotional, actually. I haven't really thought about it, mate, to be honest with you. I mean, first of all, I'll be making sure no one goes on the pitch.
Can we get you a loud hailer or something? I think the Rebel Yell sponsored loud hailer for Stu or something. We'll decorate it with glitter or something.
I know, not as much glitter, but yeah, I'm up for that anyway. No, it's going to be emotional, mate. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to come around quite quickly as well. I mean, we're looking at everybody out there now. We've still got 3 or 4 months yet, but it's going to come around really quickly, and I'm really excited. Really, really excited.
To be honest, I'm really looking forward to the first home game under the lights. I think that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, the lights are making a massive difference as well, actually, to be fair. I mean, the four new floodlights on the stand, four where it was two before. You've got four now down to stand by the dugouts, and you've got two new ones up behind on the main stand. So, not new ones, but kind of, they are new, but they're the same as we had before in terms of numbers. So, yeah, it's gonna look lovely. It's gonna look like a Champions League night in the lights down here. It really is. So,
To George, have you worked out how to do one of those Champions League style light shows before the game along some trance music? Because I think that would look epic.
Like me and George went over to New York in 2019. We went tour around America, but particularly New York. And we watched the New York Red Bulls game, and they had a firework display before that. It wasn't like a couple of sparklers. I mean, it was phenomenal, lasers and everything. I'm not too sure how that'll work with an artificial pitch. But,
no, I'll keep the fireworks away.
Yes. I'm getting abuse from Ollie Pierce now, by the way, and Miki and Jasper.
Get him on,
because Jasper can't even remember what day to come on the podcast.
Shout out! This is you're live on the Rebel Yell podcast, boys. What do you want to say?
Yeah. Hello.
Good chat.
Stu's not doing his job as per usual. No kit.
Stu still hasn't grown any hair over the summer break.
There you go. It's the abuse has started again.
It's
stuff like that I've missed, to be fair. I mean, we've been keeping in contact over the summer. Danny Barker set up a little group with me, Meeks and him in it, and we put abusive messages in there every now and then, and just miss it. I mean, it's weird how you miss getting abuse, but it's a massive part of my life. So
I don't even want to know what's going on in the background right now, to be fair.
It's just mayhem.
Rebel Yell After Dark, I reckon.
It's lovely to be back.
Well, Stu, thank you for talking to us. You go and enjoy training with the lads tonight, and hopefully very soon we can see you in person and have a good old catch up. But thanks again for giving us time.
I'm looking forward to seeing the fans down here, and like I said previously, it may be a bit hush hush, and that's not because we've got things to hide. It's like, I think it's important that the club gives you good detail and correct detail rather than just hinting stuff. Do you know what I mean? Just be assured it's exciting. It's really exciting. The club's coming on leaps and bounds. The ground's looking fantastic. So, I can't wait to see everybody down there.
Fantastic. Stu, do you look after yourself?
And you, boys. Thank you very much. Take care.
Cheers, mate.
See you later.
Mate.
Bye.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Pete, felt like a bit of normality speaking to the guys on the podcast tonight, didn't it?
Yeah, it was like what could we call them? The good old days? Yeah, we interacted with people, had a chat, and just shooting the breeze about football.
It is nice. But we've got plenty more coming up in part two, which will be released next week. We couldn't fit it into one podcast. Well, we could fit it into one podcast, but we didn't want to be so. We wanted you something to look forward to next week, because we've had no Worthing action for a long time. We didn't want to just all bombard you at once. So stay tuned. Tweet us at Rebel Yell WFCSA and join us.
And Rebel Yell is the place for the action at the moment.
It is. It's the only footballing action of Worthing that you can get. So stay tuned. Give us a tweet. Hope you enjoyed it. It is available on all our... Share it with your friends. If someone has never listened to it before, let them listen. Introduce it to someone else. If everyone told someone else, we'd grow our fan base and the Supporters Association, which is all that matters to us at the club at the moment. So hope you enjoyed, guys and girls, and we'll see you next week.
Pitch is really cutting up now, isn't it? All these divots, it's like there's been a a 5 furlong sprint in the horses. And there's Gary's impression of a horse. Well done, Gary. Thank you for your input. At least we're still smiling.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.